Let's read together Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. In these verses, we have the well-known story of the wise men who came from the east to worship the true king. Matthew chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler, who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me, that I may come and worship him also." When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. Let's begin our study of this chapter with some background notes. The story of the wise men is normally read and preached on at Christmas time. In fact, it's hard to read this account and not think of nativity scenes and Christmas carols, right? Well, sometimes it's good to study the Christmas stories as scripture without thinking of Christmas trees and nativity scenes. Furthermore, a nativity scene having three wise men standing around the manger with the shepherds is not really true to the biblical account. The wise men came to Bethlehem after the shepherds of Luke chapter 2. As much as 2 years later. Notice in verse 11 here that the wise men came to the house, not the barn, not the stable, and saw the child, an indication that this is sometime after the birth of Jesus, as verse 1 indicates. Verse 1 once again. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem. Most likely, the star appeared when the Lord was born, but it took some time for the wise men to make the long journey from the east. Remember also that Herod killed all the male babies 2 years old and under, another indication that this is sometime after the birth of the Lord Jesus. Now, the Bible never says there were three wise men. There were probably more than three wise men. The tradition of three comes from the three gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And the wise men were not kings, in spite of the Christmas carol, "We Three Kings." Well, who were these wise men anyway? Were they Jews or Gentiles? Most likely they were Gentiles from Babylon or Persia, even though Jews had been living in these areas with their scriptures ever since the days of the Babylonian captivity in the 6th century B.C. These wise men, or magi, were not magicians or mystics. No, they were scholars who were experts in the study of the stars and literature. They were probably quite familiar with the Hebrew scriptures and the prophecies concerning a coming king, including Balaam's messianic prophecy in Numbers chapter 24. I'm reading Numbers 24, verse 17. "I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come out of Jacob. A scepter shall rise out of Israel." These wise men would also be aware of Daniel's prophecy in Daniel chapter 9, giving a timetable for the birth of the king. After all, Daniel had written this prophecy in Babylon. Now, what about the star that the wise men followed? Was this the juxtaposition of several planets or a comet, or was it some other natural astral event that God used? You know, a few years ago, we went as a family to the Adler Planetarium in Chicago during Christmas vacation to attend their special seasonal program entitled Star of Wonder. In the program, they posed the question, did the wise men witness an exploding star, a comet, or an unusual meeting of the planets? And then they proceed to take you back to the skies of the years 2 and 3 BC as they appeared in the Middle East. And in these skies, they show how there was a juxtaposition of certain planets and how this could have been the Star of Bethlehem. Well, at least the Adler Planetarium takes the scriptural account seriously. And God certainly could have used some natural astral event, and the miracle was in the timing of the natural event. Or on the other hand, the Star of Bethlehem could have been a special miracle star. I tend to go with the idea of a special miracle star because this star reappeared and guided the wise men right to the very house where Jesus was, as we see here in verse 9. And behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. Well, so much for our background notes. Let's move now to our doctrinal or teaching points. Now, we have three doctrinal points. These three teachings are drawn from the three reactions we see in this chapter to the announcement that the king was born, according to the scriptures. So, doctrinal point number one. Some people know the scriptures, but they don't know the king. Some people know the scriptures, but they don't know the king. They are like the chief priests and scribes of verses 4 and 5. And when Herod had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet. And then the quote from Micah chapter 5, verse 2. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. The scribes were the professional students of the day. They copied the scriptures and taught the scriptures and were the official interpreters of the scriptures. The chief priests were also very familiar with the scriptures. So the chief priests and the scribes certainly knew the scriptures and had no problem pointing Herod to Micah chapter 5, verse 2, which predicted that the coming king would be born in Bethlehem. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Now, if you were one of these chief priests or scribes, don't you think that you would have gone to Bethlehem to check things out? After all, Bethlehem was only about 5 miles away from Jerusalem. But they never left Jerusalem. These chief priests and scribes are like many people today. They know enough scripture to be saved, but they don't commit themselves to the truth of Scripture, and as a result, they don't know the King. Let me ask you today, do you know the King? Is the Lord Jesus Christ your Savior and King? Or are you like one of these chief priests or scribes? You've known the Scripture from Sunday school days on. You could even quote John 3:16 to someone who asked you how to be saved. But you've never believed the scriptures yourself and received the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. I trust that you're not in this category today, but you are a true believer. Some people know the scriptures, but they don't know the King. Doctrinal point number two. Some people hear the scriptures and they reject the King. Some people hear the scriptures and they reject the King. They are like Herod. Herod didn't have a problem hearing the word and seeing what its implications were. He was even troubled, as we see there in verse 3. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. But to accept the king would mean a total disruption of his own selfish lifestyle, as well as a change in his evil policies. So Herod rejected the king. In the same way, many people today hear the scriptures and they understand the implications of scripture, and yet they openly reject the Lord. They do not want to submit to God and they don't want God to disrupt their self-indulgent lifestyles. And just as Herod tried to eliminate the true king, So these people will do whatever they can to eliminate the Lord from their lives and from our culture. They bash the Bible and the Christian message whenever and wherever they get a chance. Their constant harping on separation of church and state is really a mask for getting rid of God altogether. Did you notice how soon after 9/11, there was a shift from "In God We Trust" to "United We Stand"? Did you notice that? Why? Anything to get God out of the picture. Some people hear the scriptures and they reject the king. Doctrinal point number three. Some people believe the scriptures and they receive the king. Some people believe the scriptures and they receive the king. They are like the wise men. They follow the light that God gives them and they are brought to the Savior. Those who seek will find. Matthew 7, verse 7. Notice how God used the scriptures to bring the wise men to the Lord. The wise men were probably exposed to the Hebrew scriptures in their studies there in the East, and they believed the promises and prophecies and followed God's star. Then they believed the specific prophecy of Micah chapter 5, and they came to Bethlehem and found the king. This is the normal way that people find the king today. God leads them to the scriptures in some way, and then they believe the scriptures and receive the Lord by faith. Romans 10, 17. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Notice what the wise men did when they found the Lord. They worshiped him, and they presented him with their gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Let me ask you, where are you in your relationship with the Lord today? Are you like the chief priests and scribes? You know the scriptures, but you still haven't come to faith? Are you like Herod? You've heard the scriptures, but you reject the truth of what the scripture teaches. Or are you like the wise men? You believe the scriptures and have received the Savior, and now you worship him. I trust that you're in the wise men category today. Some people believe the scriptures and they receive the king. What about practical application? Return home a different way. Return home a different way. Verse 12. Then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, the wise men departed for their own country another way. Do you see the spiritual picture here? The wise men went back home. But it was not the same way they came. Things were different now that they had met the king. They went back to their homes and jobs and families and friends, but they were changed men for life. That's the way it should be when we receive the king. We return home a different way. We return to the same homes and jobs and situations and even problems, but we are different now. We now follow the Lord and look to him in all of our circumstances. If you're here today and you're not a true Christian yet, you can return home today a different way. If you receive Christ as your personal Savior today, you will be changed forever. Why not return home a different way?